Okay, let's go.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
Now good day. Ready. Good day, gents.
GM. How are you doing?
GM.
Jay, immediately.
Be right back. I'm going to buy a JPEG of a monkey for 100 Ether.
Or you can buy like Justin Bieber did for 500 ETH.
500 ETH, yeah. Holy shit.
Crazy.
The apes, me, Garrix, and Bieber have, they all look alike. They're all plain and simple. And that's what makes them rare.
So you own a 500 ETH ape?
No, it's just an ape.
But if you would list it, how is the value of the ape being determined? Is it because of the more the elements it has, the more expensive, or the
usually
rarity
more
elements, right?
Yeah, the more rarity traits it has, that's what tends most people to buy to spend more on it. But for me, to be honest, you just gotta choose whatever avatar you like and then buy it if you can.
Yeah, but why does Justin Bieber pay 500 ETH for an ape that's not that rare if it doesn't have that much rarity element?
Yeah, but the thing is, there aren't that many apes for sale which have those traits. And that what makes every ape rare. If it suits you, if you like it, yeah, that's the most important part. And it's not always about having a gold one or the one who has laser eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
And
eyes.
I also think there's not a lot of apes for sale anymore. Maybe it's like 500 apes are for sale and there are 10,000. So if there's an ape for sale that you like, yeah, then you got to make sure that you buy it before it's... And it's gone.
And Justin Bieber made it more rare now, you know, by buying it. So it's always...
I'm not complaining.
As owner, if it's being sold by Justin Bieber, so I guess...
Plus, I like the list I'm in now. It's Bieber, Garrix, and Ralph. Yeah, and they have, like, identical apes.
But I have a confession to make.
You are...
I right-click saved your one, Ralph. So...
Yeah.
What?
Right-click, save image. That's what I did to his...
Thank you for promoting my ape. Okay. If you ever show it somewhere, you're promoting me. Thank you very much. I like it. I think the makers of the Mona Lisa, or the maker, he doesn't complain. His name is Leo. And he doesn't complain that people promote his work. And I applaud you for promoting my work. Gracias, señor.
Did you already bought an NFT, Jay?
No.
Okay.
No, I agree very much with PewDiePie. He did a video on NFTs, which is really funny. I think he's one of the best YouTubers in being sarcastic. And he basically said, it's an amazing technology. And it's a funny video, so you should check it out. It's amazing technology. But the thing that they're doing with it now is kind of lame. And that's what I kind of agree with. It's just all those, like the apes, and now you have the whales, and the this, and the that, and the doodles. It's just a bit like, I don't see the point in that yet. Maybe if there's like a big metaverse.
No, it's
some sort of a picture.
It's hyping. No, it's hyping right now. But... I have many of these discussions, and then people say, well, you can buy a Porsche. Well, let's say, Jopke, you're a car enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a Porsche stand out, and why would you pay the same amount of money for it that is like an ape? Would you think that's okay to buy a Porsche of $250,000?
Well, not for me, but let's say BMW for 40,000. I think that's the same thing. BMW, always.
No, but yeah. What makes a BMW
money for a car? I think that's an insane amount of money for a car, even. You know, like.
Yeah, okay, but what makes a car stand out? Why a BMW?
Um, It's nice. It looks nice. You can drive it, which feels nice.
What makes it look nice? What color, makes it look nice design. Instead of a Kia? So you don't like how a Kia looks, which is about 25%?
Yeah.
So it's all subjective.
Everything's subjective.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's not a real good comparison, I think. Like, this is the thing. I guess you're kind of right, because I was going to say something, but then I realized there you can have the exact identical BMW. But I just don't see the point myself, personally, in owning a JPEG.
I don't see the point in driving an expensive car.
You don't see the point in that?
No, it's from getting from A to B. It's mobility. Yeah, why pay so much money for it?
Yeah, it feels nice.
I think all cars
comfortable. Look weird. You pay for comfort, you pay for looks.
I think this comes to the basics of don't try to convince the unconvincible.
No, but I'm not trying to convince. It's all subjective. I like that. It's cool.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's...
No, but it's not that I'm saying like you shouldn't own JPEGs. It's just, I think you're saying, hey, I don't see the point in owning a nice car. And I don't see the point in owning a nice car, let's say, in an expensive car. And I don't see the point in owning an expensive JPEG. It's not that I am like, oh, you shouldn't or people shouldn't. It's just for me. Right. It's not for me, you know, maybe. And that's what I mean. Like maybe when there's a big metaverse where you actually can buy skins and then it's different, you know, but that's like, I don't know how long in the future, maybe very shortly. And we all like meet online every day.
Maybe we can do that in the Aokiverse.
Sorry?
Maybe. Aokiverse. Did you see that?
No.
The Sukiverse.
Sukiverse as well. Somebody,
technology is really cool, and I can agree, but hey, whatever works for you works, and
I just think it's like,
I don't judge.
But then it's also with music. Ownership of music is always weird to me, and the fact that you can exactly reproduce an MP3, why then keep it restricted? It's one of those things that I'm not sure about that. I see a lot of discussions about NFTs and stuff as well online. And I'm just thinking like, should art be about ownership? And I think if you want to make if you want to make a living out of music, it's very convenient that you can own an MP3 or a recording, but should it be about ownership? Should that be what we talk about when we talk about art and experience of art? But that's like one of the, it's like a deep question, I think, in life.
Did you see the drop from Royal, from Nas? Yeah, Royal is a company from Blau. And they released their first music NFT, I think it's last week or the week before.
Something about that, yeah.
Yeah, where they sold 50% of the royalties of the songs. Which was kind of interesting to me, as in you still keep 50% of the royalties yourself, you still keep the master rights, but you sell 50% of the revenue, you share it with your fans.
Hey, but if you want to make music and just put it out there and fuck ownership, you can just upload it for everybody to download it. Yeah.
Also fine. It's just another extra option.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a nice,
A
nice extra to it.
Oh, I like that as well. I think it's cool. It makes it all more scalable and shareable. I actually like that. Like having people be a part of what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Did you... Corona.
Corona.
Thinking about that. So thinking about the music that's being released in different kinds of ways. So... if it's selling your royalties, or if it's, I also noticed a company where you can sell your future royalties. a lot of new things coming onto the market right now. But thinking about that, how do you see music and the way we know the industry evolving over time? Like labels, for example.
I think everything will be more like decentralized. I think instead of communicating with a label or like big organizations or like big platforms like Instagram, people find their artist by themselves. There will always be some platforms in which they find it through. So maybe through Instagram, they find a platform of Bassjackers. But then Bassjackers has their own Discord and their own maybe servers and stuff where people gather. Yeah. Maybe their own little metaverse where people gather. So I feel like everything will be a bit more decentralized. So you have less fans if you look at the exact numbers, but way more dedicated fans that are actually your fan. Because now people follow you, not necessarily your fan. But how much of my Instagram people, like followers, are actually fans, I don't know. But if you have your own platform where 100 people sign up, then you probably can say at least 80 of them are real fans.
I think that's also connected to the 1,000 true fans thing, as in it's better to have 1,000 true fans than 100,000 followers. That's also what I think that's going to happen in the future with Discords and stuff. Like, it's lower numbers, higher intensity, eventually more depth.
Yeah,
it is a hell of a lot of work though.
It is, but shouldn't it be? You know, like, maybe it became a bit too easy in the past few years with all those social media channels.
So you're saying me and Jopke were very lazy?
You were fucking lazy. No, you've worked your ass off. You need to work your ass off in order to achieve something. But the thing is, like, right now you're spending a lot of time treating, I don't know, a million people in your case. Well, maybe it's better to spend all that time on just 100,000 people that put time in you as well.
I like the option you have. I mean, you can still work with a label, but it gives you more options, and especially in combination with the Discords, NFTs, which give an incentive for the people who follow you or are in your Discord or whatever to promote the music because they're a part of it. And it gives you a way to work without the labels. And I gotta say, I was discussing with a certain label my terms, because since January we don't work with a manager anymore. So I read the contract a bit better than I used to. Man, it's just silly what's in there.
What's silly about it?
You know what's silly? That you write, if you give them the right to your master for like 15 years. But we all know that if it doesn't find any traction, even in the first few weeks, they still have a right to, how it's called, exploit maybe?
Yeah.
For the next 15 years. Why not say, okay, label A, what do you think you can achieve with my music? And then they say, oh man, we're going to make 3 million streams within the first half year. Then I say, okay, what if we don't? Well, then we give back your rights. Okay, seems fair to me. Why keep them if it's not accomplished? Why not make it like, okay, we're setting an achievement you think you can get with my music, and if not, you give back my rights. Would be way fairer for everybody. But now, they're not going to do shit about it anymore after the first half year. They're just going to wait. They have this big-ass catalog. Maybe somebody comes for a sync deal somewhere. You never know. But it's so unfair. Plus, I also read that the splits are 35% for the artist and 65 for the label on streams. Yeah. What's up with that? Why not go in 50-50?
Welcome to 2022.
And they didn't even give me a budget they would invest. Hmm. So they don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
They give, they take more of the track, and they want it for a ridiculous amount of time. In 15 years, I'll be 35. Man.
35? So,
yeah. True story. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And I like that there is now also multiple choices. You can have your own Discord. You can build your fan base better. You can do it. You can use NFTs to fund your tracks. Do whatever. There is more to it. And I cannot wait to break the status quo or make it more fair. It's unfair. Yeah. And I didn't know.
It also makes it pretty impossible to make a living from music unless you make a lot of money.
Or a lot of tracks.
Or a lot of tracks. But in most cases, if you're like a decent sized artist with, let's say, 50,000 followers on Instagram, you get multiple tracks over 100,000 streams, which is pretty nice. In that case, you won't be able to make a living from it because 70% of everything goes to the label.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a problem.
I think a problem with me for that there is like, okay, it should be fair. I think it should be at least 50-50, which is hard these days to get that on any contract music-wise. But I also think if people, I don't think that's a great argument saying, yeah, like average DJs or average this, that can't even make a living. And then I'm like, yeah, but no one says you have to make a living out of it.
No, it's a passion, a hobby you do.
I always think it's like, if you're really passionate about it, you're going to do it anyways. When I didn't, and of course you can always say, and it, a very easy position for me to say that I got very lucky. And I have talent, but I also got very lucky. But before that, I was convinced that I'm always going to make music. Even now with Corona, there's very much uncertainty about, well, a lot of people's careers. But I'm always going to keep making music, even if I don't make a living out of it anymore. And I think that's what people don't realize. And I think that's always a bit weird from people who then say,
for the record,
yeah, I don't get
want to notes. I agree with Jobko 100%.
What?
That's the first. Let's make an NFT of this moment.
Let me write that down.
This is amazing. This is a artist coaching podcast first.
Oh, my God, man. But true wisdom, Jobko. True wisdom. Sir Jobko.
Yeah. It's like you don't have to... I always think it's funny also in art, and people go to art school and then, yeah, I can't even make a living, or I'm working in theater and I'm an actor and I can't even make a living. And then I'm always thinking, yeah, but no one says you have to. There's just no guarantees. I think there's no guarantees in life anyways,
no.
But especially in businesses like this. But
I always found it really weird that there's art schools.
Yeah.
I only get it when you would like to preserve some stuff that we, which is cultural and has been shaping over time. I mean, it's nice that somebody still knows how to make a pot from clay, and that you invest in try to preserve those pots. It's Dutch culture, right? Hey, the Rifa. And Ben makes me sound old talking like this. But make a jar from clay, and but it's good to preserve that kind of stuff. But yeah, for the rest, learning art, no, it's something that you do, and just yeah.
No, I think it has more to do. Why people say that has more to do with the fact that it's not a fair leveled playing field, you know. Like if you get into this industry and want to give it a chance to make a living from it, it's almost impossible because it's not even evenly divided. As you mentioned, 70% goes to the label without having skin in the game. At least you should have the same amount of options and the same amount of... it should be equally divided, you know? And then if it doesn't work out, it's all right. But now you can say, yeah, but if you guys wouldn't take 70%, I would be able to make a living from it.
That's true, totally true. And
it's more about fairness in the industry.
Yeah. I think, and that the weird thing is, there's a continuously search to make it more fair.
Mm-hmm.
But why not make it fair when you're on top, when you're a label? It's so weird. Why?
Maybe human greed?
I think it's partly greed, and like it's the good old story of like CEOs making a lot of money, and, mm-hmm. and people are always like, yeah, they should make way less. They don't need that much, but then they.
Like, are you cutting your nails?
Yeah. Ralph's so interested in all the stories.
No, I can listen. It's multitasking, man.
The disgusting thing you can do. Like, on the studio.
Cutting nails is actually a very hygienic thing to do.
I think what goes wrong with people who make a lot of money is they start living a lifestyle that needs that much money. So you have like more mortgages, expensive cars to drive, grocery shopping is more expensive. So you learn to live by a certain amount of money.
Hey, and that makes the circle round. Do you know what all those big ass label CEO drive? Big cars. And what they don't have? Apes. Exactly my point, Jopka. I agree 100%. Again.
They need to buy apes. But also, life's unfair. Welcome to life, you know. That's also a thing. So,
it's about the haves and the have-nots.
I think it's very easy. It's like one of those things where a CEO makes a big-ass bonus and the whole country in Holland is shouting, oh, the bonus. But as soon as all those people would be in his shoes, everybody would grab the bonus and run.
Probably, yeah, most of them.
That's just human.
You know what I think is still weird? That supermarkets didn't start like a fund or something where they can raise money. Let's say they all dropped 5% of their revenue from the last 2 years and gave that to a bars or cafes or whatever. Like create a fund institution? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Like a good cause, you know, because supermarkets, they made shitloads of money because they were the only ones who were able to remain open. Why not share a part of the, I'm not saying everything, just a part of the revenue that you would normally not have had.
No, but the funny thing is, nobody does it voluntarily. And that goes for so many things because sometimes I talk to people, hey, why do you vote for that party? Yeah, because of the climate. Oh, so what do you do yourself for the climate? Yeah, not per se me, but like they're just looking at somebody to do it for them and then maybe they get mobilized, but yeah, nobody's going to do it by themselves.
And also they don't care about the impact on social life and stuff. I feel if I see what Albert Heijn is doing here in Amsterdam, it's disgusting. Like it's just the quality sucks. Their stores suck. The staff sucks. And now they're losing staff because they're not paying them enough. Fuck you, Albert Heijn. No, but it's like all those. Yeah, it's like they don't care. Like there's not that feel for quality. It's not just Albert Heijn. It's a lot of those kind of industries that just grow so
society,
big.
Man.
They don't really see what they're doing anymore and what impact they have and what their product usually was about some
you should
kind
make
of
a song with Eddie Vedder. Think you can connect.
Who's Eddie Vedder?
From Pearl Jam.
Who's Pearl Jam? I'm young. Yeah, I know Pearl Jam.
Guys, but I'm out. I cannot talk with the guy anymore.
You're very out.
Ouch. See, hurts. Words hurt, Jared J.
That's funny.
When you make
it
personal.
Funny. Was that pun intended when you said I'm out?
No. Definitely not. Just one of the perfect Dutch English translations.
But it's like, I think it's also like big labels, you know, they get so big, they don't really realize why they started, and they have all these processes that are going that they just do it a certain way and don't like have that feedback loop of, hey, wait, why are we doing that? It's just like, oh, this is what we do now. And it's sad also with big companies. You see like a nice startup. I saw something about this electric bike company. They used to have a great service and always would be someone available to fix the bike. And now they've gotten so big.
You need like a month.
Yeah, that you need like a month of waiting time. And then still you need like 11 days of repair for like a brake issue or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like they forget why they actually started. It's just like, oh, this is how it goes now because we're too big and we have too many processes.
And they don't tell you when they sell the bike, like, okay, hey, but notice... when you need service, it's shit as fuck. You're going to have to wait a month if we can fix it at all.
Yeah.
But here you go. It's a nice bike for the rest. It looks nice. It's like a BMW, but then a bike.
Bike.
No, yeah. It's weird. Yeah, they get, when their own success, makes them different. You can always notice when a company gets big, they get in like this external CEO and, yeah, you know, okay, this is going to be like a cyborg-run company right now and all for the profit.
Where do you guys... Great,
labels shouldn't be like this. In music, it shouldn't be... Well, it's not wrong to make money, but it needs to be fair. And what I always dislike is when you ask questions and they say, company policy.
Yeah. That's just the way we
or
do
industry
it.
Industry standard. Like,
oh, fuck that. Hey. Yeah.
Industry standard. Yeah, that's another one. It's just an industry standard contract. Uh-huh.
Okay.
How do you guys see the evolving of content over time?
No. Well. We didn't see it. No. Have you seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. But how do you think about that in the future? As in, music is still important, and music can definitely help you to build a career out of this. You need music to be an artist. Yeah. But if you look at most of the artists who became big in the past few years, most of those mainly became big because of the content, not necessarily because of the music. So
I think.
Like who?
Well, I think... Huh?
Like who?
I think Fisher is one of the last guys who became more popular because of his song.
I'm losing it.
For example, I think Steve Aoki is a good example. Like, maybe he already was a bit bigger, obviously, but I can't name a song of that guy.
No beef.
Well, I Wanna Rave, together with Bass Checkers. It's quite a hit. A banger. No, but I mean, he did a few. I mean, he made the Project X anthem. That was his remix with Kid Cudi. He has done a lot of cool stuff, but he's also a big entertainer. I mean, go to a show and you'll be amused if you're up for that kind of stuff.
Salvatore Ganacci, maybe.
Huh?
Salvatore Ganacci, if Ganacci,
yeah. He's just a gimmick. Yeah, and that's fine as well.
Yeah,
I think people are attracted to some kind of lifestyle either or some kind of like gimmick or thing that they relate to. So like maybe Salvatore Ganacci has some kind of humor that people relate to. And I think that's what binds you to some kind of artist. Like I think if you see Martin Garrix, people were he was like the dream that all those guys have and had like. You're 15 years old, you're working from your mom and dad's attic, and you become a world star. And it's very inspiring. And I think that's what, then it doesn't really matter anymore if you, after your hits, don't have hits anymore, because people are attracted to that concept.
But you take yourself to Ganacci. And I don't know, because he's pre-COVID, he was fairly new. And I don't know how continuously his fame, let's call it like that, will be. maybe if he comes, he had a few cool songs, but if he will, I think he also has to come with cool music steadily, or else it will fade away. I mean, he obviously got famous of the funny videos, doing push-ups, the weird dances and all the kind of stuff. I thought it was very amusing as well. And it's a cool way to get into the picture, but what do you do then? But let's say Marshmello, mm-hmm. with his Marshmello hat, eventually he made amazing music as well. That's what made him really big and like a real good fundament beneath him as an artist. It's he came with the first Marshmello hat, then the music evolved over time. And I think you really need, eventually you'll need music to become a really great artist.
Yeah, that's definitely something I agree with. But I wonder, like, the importance of content over time. I think we're approaching a time where content is taking over from music in order to gain attention. So
yeah.
It's not that you need either one of them, you need both of them. And I kind of feel like content is kind of more powerful than music these days.
Well, yeah, you need your attention, but I disagree that you need both of them. You don't need cool content per se. It makes the journey go a lot quicker. I mean, mm-hmm. if Marlon would have a sex tape with Brad Pitt, for instance, right now, we'll be famous. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you just make good music over time, you'll be famous eventually as well, or you'll have a big chance of getting famous. The Brad Pitt strategy is not a fail-safe strategy as well. Could backfire also. Mm. But it's an instant thing versus a gradual thing.
Long-term thing.
And eventually you just have to choose what's comfortable for you.
I think people are always attracted to personalities.
Hey, gaining attention. Hey, smart man.
I think people are always attracted to personalities, especially with artists, but also with athletes, for example. And I think then, indeed, like you said, the content, if you see an athlete that you, well, he's a good athlete, like so, let's say a top golfer. He's a good golfer, but he doesn't win that much. But if you see he has a YouTube channel and other guys don't. And if you then like the guy, you like his attitude towards the game, but also just his personality, then you can become a fan of that guy while he's not the best golfer.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what I think what you mean. But then still what's most important, I think, in that thing is that someone is real. And then, of course, extra content is very important. But if it's not real and if it's done because you have to make the content, and you don't feel it, but you do it anyways. And that's what I feel with a little bit with Steve Aoki sometimes, or those kind of big artists that aren't really accessible or something like that. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Did you notice that Joppe started wearing caps more now that he golfs?
Do you golf?
I golf. But it's mostly because of my Corona haircut, because the hairdressers were closed and then they were open and I got Corona. So, and then I still didn't make an appointment. So I
still. We make it look cool. It's your insecurity. I have a nice cap. I like it. New York Yankees, right?
Yep.
Do you know what they play?
They play Steve Aoki.
Yeah, would be nice to make the anthem that goes in the stadium. I did it for RKC, a little club in Holland.
RKC.
Yeah, it's a true story. Every time they come on the field, you hear our track "Savior" in a special RKC version.
Nice.
I think that's cool. Yeah. And if the Yankees would ask us, then we would make a cool anthem for the Yankees. So, what you waiting
Yankee,
for?
I'm wearing the hat, so they should ask me first.
Also cool. Yeah.
Also cool. And what's how do you like to have a hobby aside from music, Jopke?
It's amazing. I discovered golf. Now I knew about it, but then I discovered it. And now everybody on Instagram is talking about it. It's not the algorithm. It's like everybody is now.
Could it be the algorithm pushing all the content towards you? Could it be?
No, but I think it's nice to find any passion for yourself. I'm happy that my music passion, that I had that, and that I can do something with it. It's amazing. And now I found another one, which is very, it's amazing to have your keep your mind off of music sometimes and do something else.
I think it's a challenging day today to golf.
I'm going to go to the driving range later today.
Really?
Okay. It's a storm. Yeah, I still, my swing is horrible. Like I started last week, a couple months ago.
Okay.
And I haven't had that much practice time yet, but it's very addicting. I can recommend anyone to try it. And if you hit a golf ball like dead straight and hit it well, you're hooked. At least I was. So.
I've golfed a few times in my life. I like it. It's cool. Yeah, but you really have to have the time. I understand why all the pensionados go golfing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, right now in my life, I don't think I can do not even a 9-holer is quite of a challenge to fit in. It's a sketch.
Yeah, it's a time management, right?
Why are you laughing?
Sometimes I'm just realizing. I'm just trying to look at this picture from a third person. Like I'm sitting here as like a watcher of two guys talking, like a ping pong game going back and forth, talking about bullshit.
Talking about golf.
Insane. Oh yeah, yeah. What about the upcoming year? Do you guys notice any differences when it comes down to booking requests or something? Do you feel like events are picking up again or?
No. Yeah, I had a show canceled in February. Still in France.
February.
Two shows lined up. And for me, a big problem is America and the USA, like my visum. So that's something we have to.
What? Your visum is not valid anymore? Or?
No, it started in 2019. So I did use it. So I can't like easily renew it because of COVID or whatever. So I have to get a new one. But I think in America or the US, there's more shows opportunities. Europe, I think this summer will be good again. Although a lot of like small promoters are not maybe taking that much of a risk anymore. So you would have like small local festivals that would like have a huge following, but just financially they can't take that risk.
Yeah.
Especially after being cancelled last year, for example.
Yeah.
And Asia, I have no clue if anything is actually happening there. So.
No, Asia is a hard one. I don't think Asia will be up on the radar real quick.
Why is that?
Yeah, well, the vaccination degrees are low there and they still have a lot of quarantine time for most countries. China is undoable, and they, I think the ones who are doable are Japan and Korea. But yeah, the thing is, it will be hard for the coming year as well. I mean, you come from a 100% situation and you go now to maybe what's happening 50% of what it was. So that's just half of the spots. And yeah, so it's real easy to just take the conclusion that it's going to be half of what you were used to in 2019. And yeah. For a lot of people, that's that means finding another job to do next to your music.
And do you think the whole traveling thing will come back the way it was? As in, I started thinking about this last week. I was listening to a Dutch podcast with a guy from Follow the Money who wrote a new book about KLM, like the air flights, the what's it called, the airplane world, let's just say.
The airplane world, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and the airports, airports and airplane world.
Airplane verse.
Yeah, exactly. The Aeroverse. but they started talking about the environment and stuff and all the amount of CO2 you put out when you start flying. And that got me thinking a lot about DJs. Like, even if I look at the amount of flights that I did in my career, and I know my clients are doing and you guys are doing, or at least have been doing previously, would it make sense to go back to those kind of schedules? As in, do you think that would fit into the perspective of the world?
No, but to be honest, we've been we've been thinking about it for quite some time. The ecological
footprint
you have is quite big for a DJ. Well, first, I don't travel with. And second, we only use like a tour manager or a cameraman when needed. As two reasons. One, saves you money. And two, it saves you an airplane seat. And I think you should minimize the travel things. But all in all, we do have an ecological footprint, which is big. You got to make the difference in your personal life, I think. And,
Don't have NFTs? Don't have NFTs?
Oh, yeah, you could also question that. You could question a lot. And, in personal life, you try to make a difference with all the stuff. You have a big polluting car, Jopke. The money I made is in my walls and my roof and in the solar panels I use. And I try to be, I try to have a little footprint over there.
And where did the all the battery grondstoffen, where did all that, the stuff they use to make
batteries? Yeah, you make a battery, of course you need
where was that mined, in what kind of conditions?
But you make a car, but you have to make a internal combustion engine as well. So that always is. Plus then, if you can refuel a car with your solar panels, then that's where the pollution stops. That's where you're making a circular thing. But with an internal combustion engine, it's always a part that you have to make the oil. I mean, we all know what the oil industry did to the world. It's not that clean of a business as well. You can say that about cobalt, which is not being used in a lot of batteries anymore. But oil...
Lithium, right?
No, it's cobalt that you use for lithium. I don't know, actually, but fuck it. Not the point I'm trying to make. But oil, everything you have to burn always leaves a footprint. And everything you cannot make yourself always needs to transport... And everything. So you need to see if you can get to a point where when you can make sure yourself that you're circular. And especially someone like me who has made a lot of money, I think there always goes a certain responsibility. It's not for the people that don't make that kind of money. But for me, it's insane to think that people who make a lot of money don't take that responsibility. It's up to that. With great money comes great responsibility.
But do you think that's true, obviously, but do you think that within the industry, bookers, event promoters will start to think differently about it?
No.
As in...
No.
There's money to be made, then...
It's hard, but it's the mirror the world can... not everybody will agree with me, and that's also perfectly fine, but... If you see how the world acts, and we just add, for me, it's weird that people sometimes vote for a green political party, but don't do anything to help the environment themselves. Whether it's even something as simple as separating your garbage and Yeah. It's really about the man in the mirror, or the woman, if you're a woman.
So no change, no change on the climate aspect for the industry.
People won't do it. And yeah, it's weird that you don't pay taxes on kerosene, the fuel for engines. I think everything, pollution should be a counting factor in there. And it comes when you eat animals. The animals pay the price right now. I mean, they're not being really comfortable before they end up on your plate. If you fly a lot, yeah, it's not the Arrowverse that makes the difference for you. I mean, they're all about the money. And so you got to try to make a little bit of less impact yourself. And I don't think you can do it any way else.
Yeah. I think there should be some kind of implementations from governments and stuff to help that. Because I think everybody wants everything anyways. I think it's very hard to educate everybody and have everybody think, oh, what I do does actually have an impact. If you're realistic about it, everybody thinks, oh, you know what?
That's the movie, Don't Look Up. I like that movie, Don't Look Up. That's all about it.
I hate that movie.
Coming.
I hate that movie. The movie itself, like the
boring. I like the metaphor they were using.
I like the point about that movie in specific. I like the point, but after 20 minutes, we got it. Don't continue the movie for another 2 hours.
I get you.
But it's just a bit like what that movie also gets very wrong, I think, and it's quite ironic, is that that movie is exactly what's wrong. It's screaming, it's like, this is our problem, and then not having a solution. It's like, yeah, this is what we do. It's like David Attenborough as well, like many respect to him, of course, but like, this is wrong. This is what we're doing wrong. This is what we're doing to our earth. This is all, like, but what can we do? Like, yes, eat less meat, but what can we really do to make a difference?
True.
And I think you.
And the frustrating thing is that David Attenborough got the chance to travel over the world, and we as well. And now we should say to all the youngsters, you, it's going to cost like $1 trillion to do so. That's just not fair. And I don't have the solution myself as well. That's why I purely focus on what I can do for me.
Yeah,
and
but I think that should be the more of the message. Like the Don't Look Up movie is very, very negative if you think about it. Like what you're saying is very well, maybe even inspiring, as I can go that far. But like,
what's happening?
My God,
this is what I'm doing. I'm getting solar panels. I'm driving this car. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Hey, that's interesting. Instead of, we're fucking up the climate, we're polluting the air.
What would be nice is that you have like this in keurmerk. How do you say it in English?
Let me check.
Like an environmental ad, like, okay, this DJ or book, I buy this clothing piece, like giving everything like a environmental,
mark.
A what?
Mm-hmm. Quality mark.
A quality mark. But then for the environment, it could go up on a lot of things, because sometimes I don't even know what I buy. Like, is this really good? And then I'm questioning it. I dislike that a lot of things are wrapped in plastic, but fuck that shit. I just buy it anyway, because yesterday I went to the Gamma and I needed screws. And they were all packed in these plastic kind of things. And I know that's bad. Screw it. That's the thing. And so you feel lost as well. You want to do good, but it's hard to know what's right.
But I do believe in a pro approach, like, hey, this is what we can do. We're optimistic, instead of the earth is going to shit and there's nothing, well, there's not nothing we can do about it, but hey, the world is going to shit, instead of, hey, we can now do this. We can drive this car. We can, you know, it's like, I think that's what should change in the general berichtgeving.
Notifications.
Climate.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about political stuff this time. You guys agreed twice. Job called Ralph and what was it?
The Inspirator.
The Inspiration. Let's call it a day.
I'm taking that. It's thanks, man. You too.
Good talk.
Really. Good talk. Yeah. Enjoyed having the conversation again. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Yeah.